Blog Talk Radio.
White garments, all the rest of the days, royal blue garments,
all the way to the close of the seventh day. Now, after Wednesday night is over with, you count 50 days, and then you can tell you about the next feast, but we'll take care of that as it unfolds. This is number 6. So we're going to fire Hilton and bring him in for another broadcast. We know all the slots is filled, WCC, but what's behind that the box you got, I don't know. So what should I talk about it for? All right, there, WCC. I see you ready to go. Latter-day Saints, you ready to go. New York with Timothy Dolan. Roman Catholic Church, ready to go. So all the ones that want to catch the voices of a true Israelite in something, have a representative in to take notes. And that's a great thing. I'm going to bring our elder in and tell you all about the sixth day. This is the sixth day, and Wednesday, tomorrow night, will be the final day of that feast. You know, tomorrow night will be the final day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the sixth day. All right, so when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Till, sixth day of unleavened bread. Yahuwah bless you, Seed Royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, Seed Royal. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. All right. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. So your show, take your time and whatever you want to put on the table, Yahuwah bless you all. Sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Elder Mr. Till, you're on the clock.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And it's a pleasure to be here. Well, one thing that I do have to make clear, we had a question that was on the table. And I do believe there was a particular person that asked or said, definitely, I don't pay tithes to the church. I pay tithes direct to Yahuwah himself. And I'm still trying to figure out how you do that. You have to ask yourself, does Yahuwah come down from heaven to collect tithes? Or had you forget Yahuwah with his word created all, and on the sixth day he rests? So this is a question that remains. How is this done then? We receive Yahuwah's word that he has given us through the protocol. So in turn, we do nothing. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, it reminds us, verses 3 and verse number 9. 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. 10, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith Yahuwah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. These are things that you find out through the Bible, knowing how to precept the Bible. What different things are said for? Do we do good or we do evil? Or do we be a hellraiser or a peacemaker? It's for you to decide. You want to do Satan or you want to do Yahuwah? You know, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, it tells us, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We had a history of the world past, and we know that, and the world present. Our history starts from birth to our death, but those who fail to learn history correctly, they're just simply to repeat it. Or, if you don't learn it correctly, you're simply doomed in this world and the world to come. You know, we learn to give praise to Yahuwah, and we accept that what he gives us, because a teacher can't learn from his students, because he is giving wise counsel, but having knowledge, he gains even more experience by teaching. As I said many times before, a student can learn from wise counsel and possibly learning to teach one day themselves. This shows well in all the six camps that teach. We all have came to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening, they never understand. But Yahuwah's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. Many times, we see many people that look at things in the Bible through proper teaching. They can always find it, and those that were out, they can. It's the misinformed that can do none of these things. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of Christianity and bad teaching. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Learning how to connect the books, your health, and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This is information you all came to seek, and now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yada. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the days Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, not having a class on Tuesday, unless we have a high day, like now, or even a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of Sabbath is from Friday, time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine and right on the search line, type tribeyada.com. After click enter, just under the big lion, you will see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Should pay attention. You'll learn quite a bit. You click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offering, and doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. On this note, a man of wisdom once asked me, Elder Tibbs, do you know what tithes and offerings mean? I replied, yes, I can explain that. He said, well, let me give you some verses. And the first verse we discussed was in the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. 3 said, there can be no good that come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. I said, okay, let's look at another verse then. Look at Matthew chapter 6. We read verses 1 to verse number 4. And verse 1 said, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. 2. Therefore, men that do us alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. 4. That alms may be in secret of thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. We often do precepts, and I think that verse needs to be precept to 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 15. What did 15 say? 15 says, thanks be unto Yahuwah for his unspeakable gift, which makes me look at Toby, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. This is something that most should take notes on. Verse 7 says, give alms of thy substance, and when thou givest alms, let not thy eye be envious, neither turn thy face from any poor, and the face of Yahweh shall not be turned away from thee. 8. If thou hast substance, give alms accordingly. If thou have but a little, be not afraid to give according to that little. 9. For thou layest up good treasure for thyself against the day of necessity. 10. Because thy alms do deliver from death, and suffer not to come into darkness. 11. For alms is a good gift unto all to give it in the sight of the Most High. Notice what that said, the sight of the Most High. Not that you give it up high where he's at, because he wants to see you do good. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It tells you, will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein we robbed thee, in tithes and offerings. 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So I guess that's enough to answer that question, where do you pay your tithes? But still being, you know, as I said before, a teacher has to give wise counsel. Remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. Once again, telling you that according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and also mentioned once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9, this is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, alive. Also for building the school, as you can see, is very well needed for my descriptions, and just a small misunderstanding can lead to a big, I should say, turmoil in some people's mind. Building a banquet hall, a radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. That includes myself. We also have a live program. You'll find this is a feature that's only available during our live broadcast time. To get there, on any search engine, type three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click in it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadam. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses. The first is Tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E, YHDH at gmail.com for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is YHDHYSRAEL at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first is a live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international phone number, where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. Also, by calling the same number, you can order what we have known today as our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly as ordered. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you usually know or usually see, he is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. Besides that, answering many memos. Even in addition to that now, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international number of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, not to worry. You can always listen to the entire show after 10:30 p.m. To do this, enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After clicking there, look for Voices of the True Israelites. Just choose the program that you are late logging into. or choose any particular day at that point that you would like to listen. Now doing the normal Blog Talk broadcast. For your information, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk, where the sound is crystal clear. We will be listed on the Pal Talk under Ethnic Group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel, riding as shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. But remember, when we're given scriptures to speak by the seer, as a reminder, always be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we are on an international broadcast with hundreds of thousands of listeners wanting to hear the words of Yahuwah. So at this time, so that we can start to hear those words of teaching, we'll turn our program back over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent again on your part. And one thing about it, you know, I'm a great note taker, so, you know, that is something to think about. The brother say, well, I pay tithes to Yahuwah. So I'm trying to figure out myself, how do you do that? You go up to third heaven, or do he come down where you at? That's pretty good. So one thing about it, but if you're about Yahuwah's business, you will look at what scripture say and you'll be about Yahuwah's business, because everything we're doing now is temporarily, because it's a higher calling coming. So, good enough. So we leave that just like it is. We said, welcome in. This is the sixth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember one thing, the first day and the seventh day, that's the gathering. So Wednesday night will be the gathering. But all the gates will be open in between for the bonding part. See, you know, all the days like 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, them days like bonding days. You know, you eat them up, drink them up, and you bond with those that understand that thing, this thing right here is going to get real, real ugly, too. You know why it's going to get ugly? Because the more you understand this word, and the more you be able to apply this word, you're going to bring in things that you got to be careful of. Because one thing about it, they like this word to remain the way it is. That's why we have to be able to show you soundly how to avoid things to come through this word. So we're going to leave that like it is. We're going to look for, see we're all going to be on stage for the nice episode. Part number 6. This is 6th day. Will be in a couple more when the sun went down. When the sun go down, it will be the 6th day of the feast. So, and tomorrow, Wednesday night, will be the final day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But if I'm wrong, Young Lions will correct me shortly. One thing about it, they know how to search the scriptures and see the soul. So if the seer is a day up or day back, I think they'll be able to tell me in grand style what's going on. Let's see if we find a young lion and see if they really come on stage for the nice episode. Let's see if we find some of them young lions. So, one of them young lions, both Makai Israel, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of them up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1, young lion. Lord, love the roar in that microphone. Both Makai, Yahuwah bid you to see right.
Yahuwah bless you. Still Israel. Of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother Micaiah, is what day would be the final day of unleavened bread? Would it be tomorrow? Would that be the seventh day tomorrow? This time tomorrow? What time are we in right now? I'm going to get me two witnesses. get me, because I know you on it. So what are we saying at right now on Unleavened Bread? Come on.
Okay. Well, we started Unleavened Bread on the first day would have been, Passover was on a Wednesday when the sun went down, so that make it Thursday. When the sun goes down, would have made it the first day of Unleavened Bread. So that make it count 7 days from now, from that point, it would make it, Thursday when the sun go down.
It'd be Thursday when the sun go down?
We start, yeah, because Passover was on Wednesday.
Okay.
We had it on the 14th day, was on the first month at even according to Leviticus 23, verse 5. And then we do the, and then after that, we do the, on the, and on the verse 6 says on the 15th day of the same month, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Until Yahuwah, 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. So the seventh day starts after the 14th day, it's on the 15th day. So the Passover for us was on the, when the sun went down Wednesday. That's the Passover. So then once the sun went down that coming in that Thursday, that was the first day of Unleavened Bread when we came back to the temple. Count one. So that means you count 7 days from now. So that would be coming back this Thursday would complete the seventh day.
All right, you know, you know I know that you I'm gonna get a second. But I'm gonna just hold it right there. I'm gonna give me an opinion on that in a second. Not opinion. I'm gonna bring up some scriptures in a minute. But I just wanna get a second witness. You know, out of Napa 2 Wednesdays, every word being established. So I find another young line of Brother Titus and bring him in, and we're gonna hear what he got to say. Brother Titus Israel, tribe of Yahdad Judah.
Yahweh
be you there, Brother Titus.
Yahweh bless you there. See you, Israel, of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Brother Titus. Now, Brother Titus, now, you know, the fear, you don't know, you know, I just heard some good stuff, no doubt about it. But now, what I want to get me a second witness, what do we stand on the Feast of Unleavened Bread? So tell old Phil what you got on your mind there. That what day are we on and how many days left for this feast for there? Come on.
All right, right now we're on the sixth day right now. So Wednesday evening would be the seventh day. Tomorrow evening we'll go into the seventh day, Feast of Unleavened Bread. So that'd be that Wednesday night, Wednesday evening. So we on fourth.
Well, another young man said it would be Thursday evening. Now, but Mekhi,
if we on the sixth, I'll go ahead.
See, I don't know. I'll tell you now, I don't know. I kept up with it, so I know the elder teacher will be shortly making it. You know, putting the icing on the cake. But I don't know. I don't know what day we're on. All I know one thing, all the gates are open for all the days. But I don't know what day we're on. But I just heard Brother Kaya say we got two more days to go, and you said one more day to go. Now let's take our time. We're going to look at it again. I'll go look at some scriptures. See, the scripture's going to tell exactly what it is. Now, you said again, what day we on? You know, Titus?
We on the sixth day. My dad's the sixth day. He's on Unleavened Bread.
So tomorrow, Wednesday night, will be the final day of Unleavened Bread.
The seventh day. That Wednesday night goes into the seventh day. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Can you hear me, Brother Seer? This is Elder.
All right, yo.
Okay, one thing we can all do for justification, You know, we always mention about check the calendar to see about the feast days. Go to tribeyada.com, click on the calendar, and see when the feast day ends. And it will be on yellow, that time that it ends on Tuesday, indicating the end of unleavened bread. So if you put in tribeyada.com, you will come to a section where you can select the calendar. That way we won't have any, I should say, misjudgment. And once you open the calendar, you can check all the feast days, which were all grouped together. One starts right after another. Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then when Passover ends, it's sundown that Tuesday. And the beginning of Feast of Weeks begins Wednesday.
So you're saying that the final day will be
the final day will be Wednesday. Well, I'm going to look at the calendar, and I'm going to look at the calendar because I know we started Passover on the 13th, and the sun went down, made it the 14th for us. And then I know we came back in the temple on the 14th, which made it on the sun went down, made it our 15th. I kept counting Passover when the sun went down, sundown the following week, which would make it the 21st. We make it the 21st, which word. When we look at the 21st, that would be a complete 7 days, actually.
Okay. Well, let me show you how to although what do it say is in what do it say is in 1 Kings 12:6? What do it say is in 1 Kings 12:6-7? What do it say? 1 Kings 12:6-7. Can you help me out, Elder? What did I say before we, you know, we got plenty of time to check some things out. And that's what it's all about, see? One thing about it, it's all about one thing. You know, the world understands one thing. Once a ministry get in order, they know once the order is in order, they know you can start counting day time, and how you start getting in order is like on Sabbath day, feast day, random fringes, and understand how to precept your Bible. That's the time to the end, and that's the coming of thus says Yahweh once the order is in place. So we're clear about it. So when we don't find out something that's in 1 Kings, chapter 12, what do we say in 6 and 7 that we can read there? Hey, Elder, what can we read there? Come on.
1 Kings, chapter 12, verse number 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 says, "And King Rehoboam consulted with the old man that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto his people this day, and thou wilt serve them, and answer them, and I speak good words to them, and they will be my servants forever.
Okay. So I got you. So I see how it goes. So now what I got to do, I got to make sure the elders make that call. So that's what. So there go your rules and regulations. Now you know in the book called it says in 17 chapter verse 11, it said they search the scripture daily. So the elders got to know. So Israel, so he We have to know the most one thing about it. That's your position. That's your position. So we know you're clear. I tell you one thing. Those here don't know what day we on. But I know I'm enjoying every day so far. And all the gates, doors is open. So I don't know what day we on, but we'll find out. But one thing I do know is that in the book of Leviticus, it tells the story exactly what's going on. It's easy to find out if I zero in on. And see, all I gotta do is on the site. All I gotta do is go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and pick up and skip down to verse 15. And I tell you one thing, I bet you I can figure it out. But I just can figure it out because I can say again, the fox can't handle this personal health stuff. The elders, young lion chickens, they already know. And y'all can call those fears. And my thing is do one thing, make sure one thing about it, really got quiet. I'm rebuking. But what day the feast on, what day we on now, I don't know. But I know one thing, I'm enjoying a minute of it. So what it says in Exodus chapter 12, before we get to Luke 12, tell me what it says that we can read from Exodus 12, verse 1, 2, then skip down to verse 15, and we'll find out exactly what's going on. But I'm going to hear from Elder Yahda, and he's going to put the final decision on it, period, anyway. But what do we say is in Exodus 12, 1, 2, and skip down to verse 15.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, 2, skip it down to 15. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, read. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim, saying, verse 2, this month should be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. The first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul person shall be cut off from Israel. Mm-hmm.
Sit on down to verse 19.
Verse 16. And in the first day, there shall be a righteous gathering. And in the seventh day, there shall be a righteous gathering to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening.
Stop
verse
right
19.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Now read that again. See, read that again, but you just got to read it. See, all we got to do is look at the numbers. The one thing about it, the firing order, it will never change. The firing order. And if we always do 13:10, we in business. As long as we do 13:10, we know we in business. What it says we can read in 13 verse 10 of Exodus.
All right, the second book of the average time, the second book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 10 reads, you, the children of Israel, shall therefore keep this order in this season from year to year.
Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to do it from year to year. So you be clear about it. You're supposed to do it the same way every year. Now, the same way every year, if it tells us now how you do it the same way every year in verse 19. Now take your time there, young lion above Messiah, and let's read exactly how you do eat up on the unleavened bread. So if no alteration in it, you're going to do it the same way from year to year. And what it says in verse 19, how do you do it from year to year?
Verse 19, read. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land.
Right.
Verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall you eat unleavened bread. Verse 21.
Well, no. Back up to 18. Back up to 18. I'm sorry. Make it 18. Take your time on 18.
Verse 18.
Let's expound on 18. Let's see exactly what's going on. And then we'll be able to tell exactly what's going on in verse 18. Verse 18.
Verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening.
Stop it there. So on the 14th day, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening. So what that means, on the 13th day, but when the sun sets, is the 14th day at that evening. So now, all we got to do is look and see what date it is right now, because the date says is 4/19. So tomorrow, around this time, it will be 4/20. But when the sun go down, it'll be 21st. So you see, how you do that? So when we look and see, you know, man's time is 12:01.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, tomorrow in the daytime, it's going to be the 20th. But we know when the sun go down, it is the 21st. So you see, that's how you let the Bible tell it. So we know if the 14th day, on the 14th day when we came in, but when the sun set, it was the 15th day. So just like the 19th day, but tomorrow, the 20th, when the sun sets, it will be the 21st. Now read that verse with that, understanding right there. What does the Bible say again in verse number 18?
Book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread.
Stop right there. On the first month, on the 14th day, at evening, become what? What they become, Brother Matthias?
Say, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening?
Yeah, what happened when it comes when evening day?
If it's the 14th day and it become evening, that make it the 15th day.
Excellent. So that be the beginning of that feast on the 15th day. So good. So tomorrow, when we see the 20th, but when the sun set, it's going to be the what?
It's going to be the 21st.
All right. Now read that verse 18 again. With that understanding.
Okay, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening.
Right. So how would you How did you get to the 21st day as far as the Bible?
Right. At evening, when the sun goes down on the 20th, it's going to be at evening. It's going to be the 21st.
Oh, so that means tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
So that means tomorrow. But we'll get a stack of witness when we hear some old elders, Yahweh Israel. So, but in the same token, we're clear about it right now. So tomorrow will be the 20th. But when the sun set, it will be that 21st. It will be the completion of unleavened bread tomorrow. So when the sun set Wednesday night, that will be the completion of unleavened bread according to verse 18. From the 14th day of the first month. So on the 14th day, when the sun set, it is 15. So on the 20th, when the sun set, is the 23rd. Now, let's see what everybody agree on that. God will. Brother Titus Israel. Brother Titus Israel. Is that a hallelujah for these people?
Hallelujah for.
Is that a hallelujah with you?
Hallelujah.
What are you hallelujah about?
Well, the days for Passover and unleavened bread are what were taught according to the scriptures.
Okay, so will tomorrow this time be the final day of unleavened bread?
Yes, at sundown on the 20th. The sundown on the 21st is the last day of unleavened bread.
The sundown on the 20th? And when the sun sets, mm-hmm. It'll be the 20th. So tomorrow will be the last day of unleavened bread. All right. Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we get something going on. You on the clock, come on.
Okay. Go to the book of Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. But I did take notes on something the elder said about that the brother said that he said he paid tithe to Yahweh. So I'm trying to figure out how he do it. Do he go up to third heaven and give it to Yahweh, or do Yahweh come down and take it from him? I wonder how he do that. He said, "I don't pay tithes to man, I pay tithes to Yahweh." So I'm trying to figure out how he do it. Do he go up to heaven, the third heaven, and get it, or do Yahweh come down where he at and take it out of his hand? I wonder. That question needs to be asked about to this brother, since he paid tithes to Yahweh. But Brother Titus, we want to open up in the day before the final of unleavened bread in First Chronicles chapter 22. Let's look at 5-19. Let's see. I want to see something with David. You know, and then I don't know where did David pull this verse from. First Chronicles chapter 22, 5-19. Brother Titus, you on the clock for the unleavened bread. You on the clock, come on.
All right, First Chronicles chapter 22, verses 5-19. First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5 reads, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and my temple there is to be built. For Yahweh must be exceedingly magnificent, a thing and of honor throughout all countries. I would therefore now make preparation for it, so they prepare abundantly before his death.
Hold that point. What did David say he gonna do? He said, now he, otherwise his mouth said, you know, the temple that got to be built for the Almighty Yahweh, for those who come in and worship. He said, it got to be magnificent. And what did David say he was getting ready to do? What he said he was getting ready to do before. Let's see, was he all mouth? What he say that he was getting ready to do? Come on.
All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5 reads, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the temple that is to be built for Yahweh must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of honor throughout all countries. I would therefore now make preparation for it, so they prepare a month.
Oh, so he say that he going to make preparation for this to happen. Now let's read a little bit more. Let's see what he did to make preparation for the temple site, to building of the temple site for the people to come in, all 12 tribes to come in. Let's see what David started doing that we can read. Come on.
All right, that's verse 6. Then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a temple for Yahweh of Israel. Verse 7 reads, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a temple to the name of Yahweh, my Yahweh. Verse 8, but the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, you have shed blood abundantly and made great war. You should not build a temple unto my name, because you have shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Verse 9 reads, behold, a son should be born to you, who should be a man of breath. And I will give him breath from all his enemies round about, for his name should be Solomon. For I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his day. All right, skip down verse 19. Let's skip down verse 19.
Keep reading. Keep reading straight on down to 19.
Okay, straight down to 19. Verse 11. Now, my son, Yahweh be with you and prosper you to build a temple to Yahweh, your Yahweh, as he has said to you. Verse 12 reads, only Yahweh give you wisdom.
Hold that point. Hold that point there, young man. You know, that was a point. Something jumped off in that. What he said in verse 11, can I take your time a little bit, because you don't hear the point. And see, I like to take notes. I like to get me a fresh sheet of paper all the time, because you never know what you're running to. What is that to read in verse 11?
First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 11. Now, my son, Yahweh be with you and prosper you and build the temple of Yahweh, your Yahweh, as he has said of you.
Oh, so what he did, even with his son, he gave the salute, the greetings. Yahweh be with you. Ain't that something? So you see, right, it's just so many nuggets and tidbits that we have to learn to get in order. So you see what David said to his son, Yahweh be with you. And so now, what is the return answer for we said that Brother Micaiah and Ruth 2 verse 4? When you hear the word Yahweh be with you, what those be immediately said right after that we can read in Ruth 2 verse 4? Soon we hear Yahweh be with you. What kind of response supposed to come behind that we can read and Ruth 2 verse 4. What does it say?
It was Ruth chapter 2 verse 4. Verse 4 reads, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reaper, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you.
You see, So you see, all these good old tidbits is that we see that David wasn't just insane. So that's what we got to do. Once we start pulling things and getting in order according to the Bible, Yahweh have no choice but to step it up with us because we're in order. And that's what, and that's the point we're making right now. If we're doing things the way Yahweh got it written, then Yahweh have no other choice but to step forward with us in order. So verse number 11, I want to, First Chronicles, David said to his son, Yahweh be with you. So we clear they didn't write it, but we know exactly what the psalm said. And 22:11, he said, Yahweh bless you. That's good talk. See, so we got to remember, if we start doing what the Bible says, we ain't got no choice for Yahweh to intervene. And we're going to precept that a little bit more. I ain't doing that right there. That means a campfire Detroit, Michigan. What can we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2? Now, I got to throw a precept in there right away. And I need a definition of something after we hear this. Campfire Detroit, Michigan. Just hold where you at. So that's how you get a lesson. You get a lesson according to the spirit of Yahweh. So if you want Yahweh to intervene, to step up and intervene with you, something we got to do with no problem. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And you was kind of low. So get in that microphone and make it plain. What is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2?
Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 1 again.
I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where which you are called.
You know, that's a big thing. He said, Paul said he's a prisoner. He's a prisoner. I wonder what that means. He said he's a prisoner. So he's talking to Northern Kingdom that's scattered. He said, I'm a prisoner about Yahweh's business. Now, that's big talk right there. So he says he's a prisoner. Now, you know, when you're a prisoner, you can't all of a sudden just get up and go. When you get ready, when you're a prisoner, you got to put your time in. So Paul is saying, I'm a prisoner when it comes down to Yahweh's business. I'm a prisoner about his business. That's what he just said. He's a prisoner to his business. Now, let you know, once we understand that we are a prisoner to Yahweh's business, and once you know you're been in a prison, you can't get up and come as you get ready. You got to play it by the rules. So Paul is letting them know he's a prisoner to Yahweh. When it comes down to Yahweh's business, he's a prisoner on it. Now, that's big talk. So now, give me a little bit more there, because I think I'm hearing something in that. So give me a verse number. You read 1 and 2. Give me verse 3 and what they're saying in verse 3.
Ephesians 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
All right. Now, that's another big word, endeavoring. Now, one of the young lions, look that word up. Now, what that mean by endeavoring? So you say he's a prisoner when it comes down to Yahuwah's business. And he's telling the Ephesians to endeavorance. What is he saying? What that word mean? That's a big word. Elder, anybody can pull that word out. That's a big word on the table. What that word mean for this mass audience that can understand that Paul says a prisoner and you got to endeavorance this thing. What that word mean that we can read? What that word mean that we can read? Endeavorance. That's a big word right there. So we just want to run over that word because Paul said he's a prisoner, so he's telling them to endeavorance. Now, I need to know what that big word means. That's a big word. Because can anybody help the old seer out? What that word means by endeavorance? You got it?
I got some. Endeavors. I got from the Google Dictionary, meaning try hard to do or achieve something.
Excellent. Try hard. So, see, so wise, if it get hard and heavy on you, he wants you to try hard. So what Paul is telling them, even if it get hard and heavy on you, try hard. Try hard. So when you endeavor something, so Paul was sent to Northern Kingdom to tell them, you know, your forefathers way back years ago, they got into their own feelings and their emotions, and they broke away from this truth. Now Yahweh is sending me to y'all again to this time endeavorance. That means try hard. Don't get off into your feelings when something is not in your favor. He's saying try hard. That's what he's saying. So endeavorance means try hard to keep the unity. That's a big word, this word unity. That means the unity is, you know, Northern Kingdom broke away from Southern Kingdom. So he's saying when you get out into a disturbance or whatever, still keep the unity. Don't break away from the unity. Soon as it get hard and heavy, then you break away. You get off into your feelings, your emotions. You got to get away from that and understand what Paul is saying here. He's saying the endeavorance to keep the unity. That's a big word. That's a big word with that. Now, that's a big word, unity. So I ain't forgot about you, Brother Titus, but I got to deal with a little bit of this right here because he's saying something real big here. So to keep this unity, okay, well, give me verse 3 and 4 again, the chart. I think I hear something in this. Verse 3 and 4, say it for us.
Ephesians 4:3-4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
That's big talk with Dale. You know, that's great big talk with Dale. So endeavorance to keep the unity. That means you got to try harder to keep this unity. But what we got to do? What we got to do in 2 Corinthians verse 5 and 6? Let me ask Brother Micaiah. I think I hear something. I'm going to get back to Brother Titus shortly, but I'm hearing something. So to keep the unity, like Paul said, he's a prisoner in bonds of Yahuwah, meaning the going is going to get rough. Like we said earlier, we said something about it was going to get rough. You got to step this thing up. And that's where it started with the bonding on these Sabbath days, feast days, wearing your fringes, because you're going to go through it. And when you go through this thing, you got to have the unity with you, strong brothers and sisters that's with you. Watch up. Titus, help me out, Brother Titus. 1 Timothy 4:9-12. Help me out. See, he's saying something. I don't know what he's saying, but I got to catch up myself. What he trying to tell us? The regular book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4:9-12. What's he saying?
Ecclesiastes chapter 4:9-12.
Yeah, what he's saying?
I'm going to Ecclesiastes chapter 4:9-12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 6, when they fall, one will lift up his fellow. For woe, disaster to him that is alone. When he fought it, for he had not another to help him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12 reads, and if one prevails against him, who should withstand him? And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Oh, that's big talk right there. So that's what he's trying to tell Northern Kingdom. Is in Northern Kingdom, you know you broke away from 1 Kings chapter 12. You broke away from Southern Kingdom. He said, now, when it got hot and heavy on you, you broke away. But it was by the hands of Yahweh, because he told Solomon, I'm going to fit the kingdom upon you for what you did. But now it's time for you to come in, but you got to come in, understand that it's order of our faith. So you got to endeavorance. You got to try harder this time to understand it's order about this thing, because it's all about turning two back into one, in the unity and the bond of the covenant. That's big talk, he said. He's saying some big talk. So that's why you got to be clear, Brother Micaiah, on what to look for. And if you see any sign of a Romans 16:17, you have to have the great eyes on a Romans 16:17. What did it say?
Okay. Going to the book of Romans. Chapter 16:17. The book of Romans, chapter 16:17 reads, now I beseech you, beg you, brothers, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and avoid them.
So the ones that's not going to keep the unity and the ones that's always going to come from the left field, what he said you do for them that you can read, because it's all about activating Yahweh to get back with his eyes back. But he said, I'm not making no move until you endeavorance to keep the unity. Unity, see, right here. Cap 4, Detroit, Michigan. What do it say in Psalm 133:1-2? For some reason, I can't make the book. So what is he saying? 133, and that's why it's so important about these feast days. See, these feast days is supposed to be Psalm 133:1-2. What does it say? A psalm.
Psalm 133.
Mm-hmm. Verse 1 and 2.
Psalms 133:1-2. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. When even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment.
So he's saying, we got to endeavor. That's why we do know one thing, that we got to endeavor unity. But the unity have to be according to this book. See how we find unity, endeavorance, because you got to find out. That's why you got to try and see who about this unity to keeping the and being a prisoner for some Yahuwah. See when you a prisoner and bond, you can't leave when you just because you get mad. You know, you got some in prison today. He just can't say, well, I'm mad now. I'm giving. No, you can't. You're going to run to that bar. So Paul was using that illustration about telling Northern Kingdom, listen, your forefathers back in the past and 1 Kings 12 got into their feelings and emotions and walked away from Southern Kingdom. And then Yahweh disinherited them for doing so. He said, now I'm telling you that I'm a prisoner for some Yahuwah. You got to be a prisoner and bond for some Yahuwah to get back into the unity, but it's an order about getting into it. Now, I don't know. That's big tough. So Paul is making it plain, Brother Micaiah, in 12:25 through 27 of 1 Corinthians. He's making it plain about something. Well, what is he saying that we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. What is saying? I'm anxious to hear what it's saying myself. What is saying that we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. What can we read?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27. Verse 25 reads, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Yahuwah the Son, and members in particular.
That's big talk. Mm-hmm. So, in Leviticus there, Brother Micaiah, chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, then skip down to verse 17. Let's see what he's saying that you have to look. See, remember, just like Glenn Titus, you know, you got to, that's a powerful name you got. So you have to make sure, you know, that you fit the bill of this. Do you know what's written over here? And, Brother Micaiah, read that. Brother Titus, pay some good attention to this when we get ready to read. And Leviticus chapter 19, 1, 2, and let's get down to verse 17 and read a bit. You know, like I said, I don't know what day we on, but I know now what day we on. You know, I know that because we all got together and put some unity on it, and we came up through it, brother. And Elder Yadav will come back and get those sins and say, yeah, that's what time it is. So now we clear about it. So that's what it's all about. So now, but that's why I'm telling us, though, we got to be clear of that what we read in Leviticus, because this verse was pulled. So we're going to see what it says in Leviticus 19, 1 and 2. And Brother Titus, I'll pay attention to this right here. 1, 2, and skip down to verse 17.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 1, 2, and verse 17. Verse 1 reads, and Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto all the congregation of the family of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be righteous, for I, Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, am righteous. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your mind, you shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor upon him or her.
That means you got to correct your brother. When you got a brother out of order, you got to correct your brother. You find a brother just drifting out of order. You know, like statements like, well, I pay tithes to Yahweh in the third heaven. So you want to know, how do you pay tithes to somebody in the third heaven? You go up to the third heaven, and do you forgot what was written in, where's that verse that's written in 13, Detroit, Michigan? What's written in St. John? Help me out. What's written in, so all the way this can happen, in the book of St. John, it's a profound statement that's written, and 3:13, can you help me out? What do 3:13 say in St. John 3:13?
St. John 3, verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
So ain't no man went to heaven. So if no man went to heaven, so we clear that you ain't going up there to pay no tithes. That means he got to come down.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Bible says the only way you will activate the Son to come down. See, that's why we got to test these. When statements like this come on the table, that means you got to catch these things. That's especially Brother Titus. You got to catch up. Now, ain't no man went to heaven. So we know you ain't going up there to pay your tithes. Because Yahweh says over here in the Spartan Michigan, he says in 10, verse 13, let's see when will he make his return visit that we can read. We can read the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 13. When he gonna make his when do the record say he gonna make his comeback down?
What book is that, Seer?
Hebrews. I'm losing title for Hebrew. We want to know when is Yahweh the Son is coming back.
Hebrews 13. Hebrews 10, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
From henceforth, expecting till... Hebrews 10, verse 13.
Yes.
From henceforth, expecting till his enemies, he made his footstool.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 12.
Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of Yahweh the Father.
So the next time he coming back is when, Charlie? When he come back? One of them young men, help out. When is he coming back? Are we coming back? Okay, Yahweh the Son is up sitting on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. And verse 13, for this for respect his enemies, he made his footstool. So when is he coming back?
His enemies made his footstool.
Say it again, a little more audio, above Mackay, a little more audio, and put a little more chest in that.
When his enemies is made his footstool.
That's when he come back. So he ain't personally coming down and doing nothing with you. He ain't doing. He ain't coming down here to take the tithe that you ain't going up to take it to get no tithe. So now right there and there, that's folly. So see, that's why I said no schism in the body. So we got to catch stuff like that. Because if somebody hears statements like that, that is weak in the faith. You know, that's weak in the faith. You know, that's not good. So that's schism in the body to say, well, I don't pay tithes to no man. I pay tithes to Yahweh. And we just found out that no man ever sent it to heaven. So that means you didn't go up there. And Yahweh is not coming back down here to get nothing from your hands unless it's time for the beatdown. See, that got to be rewind and say, you know, that's folly that you reckon. So that's why you need a tape on your mouth. That's folly. Because anybody with a new beginning hearing statements like that, and when you appear to be in leadership, that's not good. You can't let statements like that get away. Got it? Good. All right. Now, what were we holding? Were we holding something? We was holding something. What were we holding? We found out that no man had went to heaven to take his tithe up to heaven, and he ain't coming down here to get no tithe from you. Because next time he come down, it's to bust some heads in grand style, which we're going to read in this lesson. So he not going to, because he said between him and Satan is, give me a verse for a title, 14 verse 30. What it say in St. John 14 verse 30? Yeah, what it say that we can read?
Chapter 14. John chapter 14 verse 30 reads, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me."
You see that? So he said he ain't got nothing to say until he said he ain't got nothing to say. I told y'all exactly how this thing gonna be. And all we got to do is follow what's written. And we follow what's written, we're going to be all right at the time appointed. So I tell you what, let's come on back to where you left off in that Chronicle book. Let's find out what's written. Let's go back to that Chronicle book. Let's get back in that Chronicle book and see what's written. Because, you know, time get away so fast. Before we even get stressed out with this time, it's just about time for the old era to come on back in with another commentary again. So finish off this Chronicle book and see what's going on with David, because David said, well, you know, Yahweh don't want me to build no temple because I killed too many people. That's what David said. So now what happened next that we can read there, Brother Titus? What happened next that we can read?
I'm at verse 12, 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 12 reads, "Only Yahweh to give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the Torah instruction, the first five books of Yahweh, your Yahweh." Verse 13 reads, "Then shall you prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which Yahweh charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed." Verse 14. "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the temple of Yahweh 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance timber also, and so have I prepared, and you may add thereto." Verse 15.
Hold on, Brother Titus. Go back and read that. Hallelujah, Captain Joseph. Hallelujah, Yahweh on that. You know, Captain Joseph dropping. Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Keep the unity, try harder. You right. Endeavor to keep the unity. Captain Joseph. All right, we'll see him win Titan. And I know he has plenty to say in grand style, eyeball to eyeball. So read that verse again.
First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the temple of Yahweh 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and no brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and you may add thereto.
What are you telling Solomon to do?
Verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble. Verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the temple of Yahweh 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass, and iron, without weight. For it is in the abundance. Temple also, and stone have I prepared, and you may add thereto.
What did you tell the son to do?
All right, verse 14.
No, wait, hold on. Brother Makai, what did he tell the son to do? Brother Makai, what did he tell his son to do?
The book is Second Chronicles.
No, but what did he tell his son to do? He said he already said what he was going to do. Now, what did he tell his son that he can do?
You talking about Second Chronicles chapter 22, verse 15?
Detroit, Michigan, what did he tell his son to do that he can do?
He told us his sons, all the princes of Israel, to help Solomon. Verse 17.
Hold on. Mr. Peter, what did he tell his son that he can do? What did he just say that he said? He already said what he was going to do. Now, what did he tell his son that he can do in that verse? Can I give me a good answer behind that? Who will take another shot at that? Now, we heard what he said that he was going to do. Now, what did he tell his son that he can do? Can I get a straight answer? Young Lion, can I get a straight answer on what he said that he was going to do and what he told his son that he can do?
Okay.
Young Lion. No, I don't want the whole verse. All I want to know is what did he say? What he said he was gonna do, and what he told his son that he can do. That's all I want to hear. Now, what the scripture said? What do it say that he said he was gonna do, and the part he told his son that he can do? That's what I want to hear. We heard what he said he was going to do. So what he told his son that he can do, that we can read. Can't get no answer? All right. He said to add, you can add on to what I'm doing. That's what he told him to do. Y'all see in the bottom part where it said what I was going to do? He said, now, my son, you can add on to what I'm getting ready to do. And now y'all see it.
Oh, y'all I got it.
Yeah. Right. Add on to what I'm doing. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He's not my son. You can add on to what I'm getting ready to do. Now we see it in full colors now, right?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I see it. I prepared it. You may add on to.
Next verse. Next verse. So he says, now this is what I'm going to do, my son. I'm going to get that. I'm going to do my part. But he said, now look, my son, you can add on to what I'm doing. And that's in that verse. Next verse says what?
15, moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, hewers and workers of stone, timber, and all manner of cutting man, of every manner of work. 16, read, of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and Yahweh be with you.
Wait a minute. Wait, what do you say again, Tim?
Verse 16. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and Yahweh be with you.
And Yahweh be with you. See that? See, otherwise, when you're doing something in the sight of Yahweh, temple business, you know, you're doing temple business, and Yahweh be with you. So arise and get busy. You say you have men that's qualified to follow your lead and grand style, salary. So arise and be doing. Come on, read a little bit more. I thought you were going down. Read a little bit more. I thought you were going down.
I'm going all the way to the last verse, to 19.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Verse 17. David also commanded, ordered all the princes of Israel to help Solomon and his son, saying. Verse 18. Is not Yahweh your Yahweh with you? And has he on every side? When he has given the inhabitants of the land unto my hand, and the land is subdued before Yahweh and before his people. Verse 19. Now set your mind and your life to seek Yahweh, your Yahweh. Arise, therefore, and build ye the temple of Yahweh, to bring the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and the righteous vessel of Yahweh into the temple that is to be built in the name of Yahweh.
That's all that? Yeah, okay. That sounds good. I mean, you know, I'm not looking at anything. I'm just calling the way it's unfolding itself. So he's saying, look here, this thing got to be done. Brother Makai, let's go to Haggai 1:1-14. What is now? So Solomon got busy. Solomon got busy. Now let's run to Haggai, Brother Makai. Look at 1-14 in the book of Haggai, and let's see what happened. Now we clear. But Solomon got busy, and David told Solomon, I'm throwing mine in. But matter of fact, he pulled that verse. Pull that point right there. He pulled that verse. Let's try to back up to Exodus 36, 1-7. Let me see what's going on. He had to pull that verse. He had to have been reading something for that verse there. Let's see where that verse came from. He said what he was going to do and all this stuff for the temple site. Bag up to Exodus 36, 1-7. And Brother Titus had me Haggai chapter 1-14 waiting on me.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Exodus 6, 1-7.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Verses 1-7.
Hold on, guys. You have me Haggai 1-14 after this. Come on, Brother Titus.
Exodus 36.
Yeah, 1-7. Titus had me in Haggai 1-14 waiting on me.
The book of Exodus, chapter 36. Verse 1-7.
Yep.
Exodus chapter 36, verse 1-7. Here brought Bezalel and Elalel on every wise man in mind, on whom Yahweh put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the temple according to all that Yahweh have commanded. Verse 2, and Moses called Bezalel and Eliezer, on every wise-minded man, and whose mind the Yahweh put with, on everyone whose mind stirred them up, who come unto the work to do it. Verse 3, and everything of Moses, all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the temple to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Verse 4, and all the wise men that brought all the work of the temple came every man from his work which they made. Verse 5, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring too much more than enough for the service of the work which Yahweh commanded to make. Verse 6, and Moses gave commandment, order, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the temple. So the people were restrained from bringing. Verse 7, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much.
And that's you see, our forefathers had on us when it come down to what God be did for the temple site, man, school, and banquet hall. You see, they got all frenzy because they know what this thing is all about. See, we got to get that spirit ourselves. Because you right now, we supposed to have land, school, banquet hall, because our people's in dial straight on needing to sit around, but we got to get in order to be able to do that, and we got to be clear when you got a schism in the body, they must be called to the side and dealt with because before the floodgates come, because we got to be we got to be the truck. We got to be 3:8-9. We got to be a 3:8-9 of the book called Peter. What is that in chart? We got to be a 3:8-9. Tell me out in 3:8-9. 1 Peter 3:8-9. This one got to happen. So one thing about it, Yahweh is not going to intervene until he see his sign in your mind. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says what?
First Peter 3:8. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips.
Verse 8.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying for this to happen, you got to be one mind. So when you find out that you got schism in the body, then leadership have to kind of take that schism to the side and say, wait a minute, hey, schism. You got schism in you. You have to straighten up a little bit and fly right. Because that schism in the body you own. The only thing going to work, you got to come one mind and understand one thing, is how this thing going to work. Show you how it works. See, once we get according to one mind, everything will fall in line. Once we got the right goal, we able to take care of business as it unfolds itself. And when the floodgates open up in the six anointed camps, We got to be prepared to deal with it with one mind and one accord. That's what got to happen. So did I break in on anybody, on anything? Is anybody holding anything?
Yeah, I got Haggy.
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay, come on. Go, we just got through reading where David pulled that from. See, David went and searched the records and seen the scriptures showing that when you get brothers on the same time and women on the same time, there will nothing be restrained from you doing. So that's the game changer right there. For the next move to be made, we got to get on one mind. And when one mind, the next thing you know, we was clear what happened. When they got on one mind, matter of fact, Brother Titus, read what happened when they got on one mind in number 7, verse 1 and 2. What happened? Let me show you what happened. When you're on one mind, one accord, what happened that we can read in Numbers chapter 7, 1 and 2?
We go to the book of Numbers, so the heavenly text. One of the first 5 books of the Torah structure. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1 and verse 2 read, "And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the temple and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and anointed them and sanctified them." Verse 2 read, "That the princes of Israel, heads of the nation of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them, that were numbered also."
Yeah, read another verse.
Verse 3 reads, "And they brought their offering before Yahweh, 6 covered wagons, 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the flock, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the temple."
You see that? So you see that? So you see what that one mind mean? See, when that one mind means, they stepped up, they organized themselves, and they got busy, and the temple was reared up. So when you come in one mind, and that was Jay Egner Hoover said. Somewhere he said, forgot what year he said. He said, but you know what? What's the worst thing on the planet Earth? He said, Negro unity. What he's saying, Israelite unity. He says, that's the biggest disaster it is. So you can put up on your computer when Jay Egner Hoover, you know, he's the head of the FBI, and they asked him a question, what is the greatest defeat, Carthage that can happen to us? He said, you see them guys out there? He said, if they get in unity, that's the worst thing that can happen to us. So you see that scene right here? So that's what we're trying to tell you. If you get in order, the worst thing will happen to the 17 nations. They know one thing. The clock starts ticking once we in order. That's why you got to recognize those that's faking and those that's real. Because one thing about it, you get brothers and sisters to get off in their feelings, they have to be dealt with. So you off in your feelings. The bigger goal is endeavoring to keep the unity on one mind on the big goals that you're trying to make. That's what we come together for. Now let's see what Brother Pat in the book of Happy Hour 1 through 14. Let's find out what's going on there. And let's see what happened. Because we see now it did happen. But now let's see, as time progresses on, they got the big head. They start going up into captivity. A lot of problems started happening because they got out of order. Then Yahweh came to Haggai and started talking to him about some things to see what he says. And Haggai 1 down to verse 14. Brother Makai, you're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1 reads, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, on the first day of the month, came the word of Yahuwah by Haggai the seer into Zerubbabel, the son of Shishi Atayel, governor of Judah, polluted word for Yada, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, verse 2, thus speak Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that Yahweh who should be built. Verse 3, then came the word of Yahweh by Haggai, the seer, saying, verse 4, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses in this temple like waste? Verse 5, now, therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 6, you have sworn much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You claw for you, but there is none warm. And he that eateth, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Verse 7, thus says Yahweh of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be honored, saith Yahweh. Verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith Yahweh of hosts? Because of my temple that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Verse 11, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of Yahweh. Turn the page. Yahweh, and the words of Haggai the seer, as Yahweh, their Yahweh, has sent him, and the people did fear before Yahweh. Verse 13, then spake Haggai the seer, the word, the Yahweh messenger, in Yahweh's message unto people, saying, I am with you, says Yahweh. Verse 14, and Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, polluted word for Yada, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the temple of Yahweh of hosts, there Yahweh.
Temple is the school, land, school, and banquet hall. Land, school, and banquet hall. So that, so he says people stir up. So we clear that if the people's going to come and they're going to be stirred up to take care of this business, land, school, banquet hall. But see, that's... But they were stirred up. He said, Yahweh is with you. He said, but my school, my temple, my school, banquet hall, and land, what's the hold up? Because one thing about it, see, Ray, we need a place, now, not on radio station. Because one thing about it, the other nations, it's going to turn up on you. Tell me you're not up front. We couldn't get it in this lesson because that's the way the lesson went. But one thing about it, Steve, right here, we got to come together with one mind, one understanding, and we got to start putting the land, the school, the banquet hall together, and we got to be doing that just like the days of old. And when we hear that folly, them folly conversation, that have to be checked about what, where I'm going to go to heaven. No man can't come to heaven. And Yahweh ain't coming down until time above heads. So you're out of order with that speech, period. See? See, all this stuff got to be checked before the floodgates open up, because if you want Yahweh to intervene, you got to look at what the record says to have him to intervene. We got to get in order. So that is right there in order. That's what we got to do. We got to get in order. And that's why, you know, the feast day is very important, of bonding, getting together on these feast days, and all in between, you know, bonding. Because one thing about it, we got to keep the unity together. Now, I think I want to go back to that one more time, Brother Titus. I want to go back to that again. Before I do that, let's bring our elder in and get his closing statements on tape. On this must be the sixth day of unleavened bread. I know tomorrow will be the closing of the seventh day. Be clear about that. Wednesday night will be another day of the closing of the first day and the seventh day. Be clear about that. Let's bring our elder in and get his final thoughts on the sixth day of feast of unleavened bread. Elder, let's see if you're on the clock. Come on. You're the clock. Come on. Latter-day Saints. We going to mute Elder. Keep talking about the feast. Ain't that fun? Where's your radio station? Brother Micaiah. No, Brother Titus.
Yes, sir.
Let's see what we can read. And let's see what we can read. And I guess maybe I'm tipped too much or something already, that I need something thrown on the table right now. So do you, Brother Makai, y'all got something thrown on the table right now? So right now for a minute, cause I am kind of red back. I'll tell you what, give me that verse over there in the fourth chapter, verse 20-22 of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20-23. What do that verse say anyway? Ephesians 4, verse 20 down to verse 23. What can we read?
All right, we're going to Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 20-23. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20-23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 reads, "But you have not so learned Yahweh the Son." Verse 21, "If so be that you have heard it and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yahweh the Son." Verse 22, "That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust." Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind."
So you see what he's saying? He said, either way, when you come together, you got to put that old man off, them old conversations. And see, key to this thing, you don't have to watch brothers and sisters come, and all they on their mind is old conversations and stuff like that. You know, when it comes down to strategizing about the Yahweh's word, they got to put down them old conversations. That's what we got to do. See, we got to see all this. But one thing about it, this man going to do a big thing in this ministry. But he's saying plainly, we got to get identified in order. We got to be in order. See, we got to move forward in the word of Yahweh for Yahweh to intervene. Back up in Detroit, back up and give me 1 John 4:20. 4:20. Detroit, Campbell, Detroit, Michigan. What does it say in 1 John? On the right side of book 4, verse 20. First 1 John 4:20. When it's that Latter-day Saints, we going to mute her too. Brother Micaiah, what do it say in 4:20? 1 John 4:20.
Book of 1 John 4:20. Verse 20 reads, if a man say, I love Yahweh, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that love not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love Yahweh, whom he have not seen?
I guess them the one that can pay tithes to Yahweh. So there it is right there. The one that can go can pay tithes to Yahweh. I just want to know how do you pay tithes to Yahweh? I want to know how you do it. According to the Bible, we've seen how they do it in the Bible. But I guess you got some mystical way you do it. Let's run to Luke chapter 12:47-48 there, Brother Micaiah. What can we read out of Luke chapter 12:47-48?
Okay. Going to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Picking up at verse 47 and verse 48.
Verse 47 reads, knew his Yahweh's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, should be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes should be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom a man have committed much, of him they will ask the more.
You see that, T-Ray? So you say, you know, those that know his will and don't do his will, it need to be beaten with many stripes. But he says, on those that gonna be about this thing, much is given. Must require, and he will ask for more. Look here, I need to do more. That is right there. Now let's precept that to St. John chapter 15:16-19, and Matthew 5:14-16. Go back to back with that, Brother Micaiah. St. John chapter 15:16-19, and Matthew chapter 5:14-16. Let's see what that say.
Okay, the book of St. John. Going to chapter 15, reading verses 16-19. Verse 16 reads, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Book of Matthew 14 reads, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and honor your Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. And Baruch 4:28, what it says, Brother Micaiah and Baruch 4:28, what it says, 4:28, and Brother Titus had me 2 Corinthians 13:5-6 waiting on me. Backed up with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, down to the close of that statement. Come on.
Okay, going to the book of Baruch. chapter 4:28. Okay. Book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28. 28 reads, "For as it was your mind to go astray from Yahuwah, so being returned, seek him 10 times more."
The reason why this statement came up, because you remember that letter that got out with that Willie Lynch letter showing how they have infiltrated into the minds of society, especially the females, that Willie Lynch letter. And that's why the foreign got to increase, or we got to understand that the world have orchestrated to keep this woman from being hook, line, and sinker with this man, because they know one thing, if they organize together, won't nothing be not left on duty, that not undone. So that's why I said we got to break all this. We got to really see this thing unfold itself. You know, so now give me, I got to pull a rabbit out of the head, Brother Micaiah. In the book of Sirach 25:19 down to verse 23, can you help me out in that verse? Then we going back to Brother Titus. Because one thing about it, we got to be clear that the world understand one thing. If you come together, even in your relationships, and you become one in your relationship, understand the rules of the Bible, they know they finished. See, there's so many ways to activate the Almighty Yahuwah, but we must come together in the mind. And look what he got written in Sirach 25. Let's look at verse 1, then skip down to 19 to 23. Sirach 25, verse 1, 19, down to verse 23. Brother Micaiah, what does it say?
Okay, the book of Sirach, chapter 25, verse 1, then going 19 to 23. Verse 1 reads, "In three things I was beautified and stood up beautiful, both before Yahuwah and man. The unity of brothers, the love of neighbor, a wife and a man that agree together." Verse 19, "All wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. Let the portion of a sinner fall upon her." Verse 20, "As the climbing up a sandy way is to the feet of the aged, a wife full of words to a quiet man." Verse 21, "Stumble not at the beauty of a woman and desire her not for pleasure." 22, "A woman, if she maintain her husband, is full of anger, impudence, and much reproach." Verse 23, "A wicked woman abated the courage, make an heavy countenance in a wounded mind. A woman that will not comfort her husband in distress, make weak hands and feeble knees."
Mm-hmm. What is it saying? He says it's already rough out here in the system. And if you understand that you prepare for those that's out here in this world system, but imagine you got to come home and you hearing all types of, you know, everything but what you need to hear. And that's why I say you got to make sure that your company that you have right understand that that Willie Lynch letter was a profound letter showing you how they infiltrated into the woman's mind and got her what she contrary to this man, and look at this man as a Negro. She don't look at this man as this man is her Yahuwah. She look at this man as her Negro. She have more respect for Esau and five sons than that man that put his head on that pillow. Because you know you go on your job, and when that man tell you to go do such a thing, you say you probably say yes about it, but I tell you one thing, you get ready and do it. But when you get home and this man tell you to do something, then you got all type of mouth coming back at it. And see, that's in that letter. So that's why you got to understand something. The world has orchestrated us to be against one another. That spirit have to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And how it starts is us to understand one thing, is what a relationship is all about, and how that woman must look at you as a Yahwali man. That's why you must be a 3712, a Yahwali man. And she got to have the respect to understand one thing. You is the only, the closest Yahwali you're going to get to is me. And that's why the system is set up so bad, where the point that they are infiltrated in with the woman and got her doing everything contrary, weighing plans, weighing all types of fingernails so long. How can you even, fingernails that long, eyebrows going all the way out, got your head buckling, falling, tripping, make you fall headlong on it. All these type of things, and Yahwala made it plain to you. And but I'll tell you, what he made, what he said in 13 verse 3 of Wisdom of Solomon, did he make a statement in 13 verse 3 of Wisdom of Solomon? Did he say anything that we can read?
All right, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 3. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 3. With whose beauty, if they be delighted, took them to be Yahuwah. Let them know how much better Yahuwah's gift is, for the first author of beauty has made it there.
So Yahuwah knows what beauty is. And what we have did, we have been so contrary. We think beauty means, you know, everything contrary to what Yahwah made you. All you need to have is jump in that tub and put some oil on you and go on about your business. You all right. You ain't got to go through none of that stuff. Some long fingernails, eyebrows, blow on your head. You ain't got to do none of that stuff. Yahwah got the beauty already laid out for you. You know, I told you plainly in the book of what he tell you in a book called Deuteronomy's 22 verse 5, what he said, Brother Titus, what kind of statement did he make?
I'll be going to the heavenly tablet. One of the first five books of the fifth book of Deuteronomy. 22 verse 5, read, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither should a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to Yahuwah, your Yahuwah.
See, the world know one thing. If they be continue to keep you out of order, like J. Egg Mahuga said, the worst thing that can happen to society is that old Negro organize himself in unity. That would be a disaster to us. So that speech you can bring up with the J. Edgar Hoover said, and just that, like that Willie Lynch letter said. See, we got that man in our head, and what man you supposed to have in your head is that Yahwali man that put his head on that pillow with you. That man right there. You have to understand what Yahwah is saying. If you want the blessing of Yahwah, you must come back to the order of Yahwah. What Yahwah say he don't like, he don't like. But he likes, he loves him some order. Brother Titus, give me some order in a closing statement by going to, we got plenty of time. Look at WCC said, you got plenty of time. Matter of fact, you said you left about 10 minutes off the broadcast yesterday. Well, we talked enough yesterday, and we'll get back to mode, so we understand what you on. Now, what I say we're going to again, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3-9. Well, let's take a look at this order real quick. See, the system, understand one thing. If you get in order, you get in order with your relationships, you get in order with Yahuwah's business, they know their time is short. Two Pinnell to keep you, just like they eliminate the mother's telephone off the network where they can't come on the network, and my telephone, all that kind of stuff. You see, they do everything contrary to you. but you still won't step up to the plate. And matter of fact, I left a verse on the table. And while Brother Titus is reading that, I left a verse on the table. I think I want to find out exactly what was said. And matter of fact, whatever you're holding, Brother Makai, you hold that point. I want to come back and read. I want to read something in the second book of Ezra, chapter 1, to the close of chapter 1. It's very important. Something in that I need to hear read. You know, I need to hear that read. As a matter of fact, chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a good part in that we need to hear. Let's find out more about it after we read the 11th chapter, verse number 3 down to verse 9. What does it say, Brother Titus? What does it say?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 down to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. For I will have you to know that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father. Verse 4 reads, every man's prayer or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Verse 5 reads, but every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonored her head, but that it is even all one as if she were saved. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be sworn. But if it be shame for a woman to be sworn or shaved, let her be covered. Verse 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much he is the image of the greatness, the honor of Yahweh, but the woman is the honor of the man. Verse 8 reads, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Verse 9. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
See, and we got to know that. And we got to know that all the things is that the woman's position was created for this man. This man, but in the same token, the unity is when before you read that second Ezra 1:1, Brother Titus, read that verse again in Sirach 25:23. What does it say again? Sirach 25:23, what does it say?
All right, back to Sirach. Sirach 25:23. Sirach 25, verse 23 reads, a wicked woman obtaineth the courage, make a heavy conscience, and a wounded mind, a woman that will not comfort her husband in distress, making weak hands and feeble knees.
You see that? So, being a helpmeet, that should be your desire to make sure that man's strong on the next day when he step out of the ponderosa. But if you saying all the wrong thing, that's not good. Because and the world know these things. So that's why once the unity is put in order, Yahweh have no choice but to intervene. So he tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. What he's saying, Titus, what he's saying in 2 Corinthians, verse 13, 5 and 6, what he's saying that we can read?
2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself, whether you be in the covenant. Prove your own self. How that your father's son is in you, except you be reprobate. I guess verse 6, but I trust that you should know that we are not reprobate.
So you examine yourself. Do what you do. Do you line up with this Bible? I'm telling you something. if we line up with this Bible, you know, the way the Bible is laid out, it ain't going to change. We own something. But if we don't do it, we're not going to be on nothing. That's why you have to see what this book is saying and be all right. Now, we're going to read something in the book of 2 Ezra chapter 1:1, and we're going to read that. We're going to read the whole chapter. It ain't that many verses. But he's going to tell us something. And then Brother Titus had me chapter 2 waiting on me, and we're going to read half of that. And then we're going to see where we at now. It's something we need to know that the Messenger Spirit told Ezra. He told Ezra, but he gave him his pedigree and all this good information. 2 Ezra, chapter 1:1, and just read on down until we get our point. You on the clock, come on.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, the second book of the seer Ezra, the son of Sarias, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Sandamiah, son of Akatob. Verse 2, the son of Akiah, the son of Phinehas, the son of Heli, the son of Amariah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Merimoth, the son of Arna, the son of Uzziah, the son of Barak, the son of Abaziah, or Bisi, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, which was captive in the land of the Medes, in the region of Artaxerxes, king of the Persians. Verse 4, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 5, go your way and show my people their sinful deeds and their children their wickedness, which they have done against me, that they may tell their children's children. Verse 6, because the sins of their fathers are increasing them, for they have forgotten me and have offered unto strange Yahuwah. Verse 7, even he that brought them out of the land of Egypt, polluted word from Mezarim, from the house of bondage, but they have provoked me unto wrath and despised my counsel. Verse 8, pull you off there the hair of your head, and cast all evil upon them, for they have not been obedient unto my Torah instructions, first five books of the Bible, but it is a rebellious people. Verse 9, how long shall I forbear them, unto whom I have done so much good? Verse 10, many kings have I destroyed for their sake, Pharaoh with his servants, and all his power have I smitten down. Verse 11, all the nations have I destroyed before them. And in the east, I have scattered the people of two provinces, even Tyre and Sidon, and have slain all their enemies. Verse 12, speak you therefore unto them, saying, thus says Yahuwah. Verse 13, I led you through the sea, and in the beginning gave you a large and safe passage. I gave you Moses for a leader, and Aaron for a priest. Verse 14, I gave you light and a pillar of fire, and great wonders have I done among you, yet have you forgotten me, saith Yahuwah. Verse 15, thus said the Almighty Yahuwah, the quails were as a token for you. I gave you tents for your safeguard. Nevertheless, you mumbled there in my name for the destruction of your enemies. But ever to this day do you yet mumble. Verse 17, where are the benefits that I have done for you? When you were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, did you not cry unto me? Verse 10, saying, why has you brought us into this wilderness to kill us? It had been better for us to have served the Egyptians, polluted word from Mezarim, than to die in the wilderness. Verse 19, then had I pity upon your mourning and gave you manna to eat. So you did eat angels' bread, ministering spirits' bread. When you were thirsty, I did not cleave the rock and waters flow, did I not cleave the rock and waters flow out to your field? For the heat I covered you with the leaves of the trees. 21. I divided among you a fruitful land. I cast out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Philistines before you. What shall I yet do more for you, said Yahuwah. Verse 22. Thus says the Almighty Yahuwah, when you were in the wilderness, in the river of the Amorites, being athirst and blaspheming my name. Verse 23. I gave you not fire for your blasphemy, but cast a tree in the water and made the river sweet. Verse 24. What shall I do unto you, O Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and Judah, polluted word for Yada, would it not obey me? I will turn me to other nations, and unto those will I give my name, that they may keep my statutes. Verse 25. Seeing you have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When you desire me to be gracious unto you, I shall have no mercy upon you. Verse 26. Whenever you shall call upon me, I will not hear you, for you have defiled your hands with blood, and your feet are swift to commit manslaughter. Verse 27. You have not, as it were, forsaken me, but your own self, says Yahuwah. Verse 28. Almighty Yahuwah, have I not prayed you as a father his son, as a mother her daughter, and a nurse her young baby? Verse 29. That you will be my people, and I should be your Yahuwah, and you will be my children, and I should be your father. Verse 30. I gather you together as a hen gather her chickens under her wings. But now, what shall I do unto you? I will cast you out from my face. Verse 31. When you offer unto me, I will turn my face from you. For your solemn feast day, your new moon, and your circumcision have I forsaken. Verse 32. I sent unto you my servants, the seers, whom you have taken and slain and torn their bodies in pieces, whose blood I will require of your hands, says Yahuwah. Verse 33. Thus says Almighty Yahuwah, your house is desolate. I will cast you out as the wind doeth summer. Verse 34. And your children shall not be fruitful, for they have despised my Torah instruction and done the thing that is evil before me. Verse 35. Your house will I give to a people that shall come, which not having heard of me, yet shall believe me, to whom I have shewed no sign, yet they shall do that I have commanded them. Verse 36. They have seen no seer, yet they shall call their sins to remembrance and acknowledge them. Verse 37. I take to witness the mercy of the people to come, whose little ones rejoice in gladness. And though they have not seen me with bodily eyes, yet in spirit they believe the thing that I say. And now, brothers, behold what honor, and see the people that come from the east. Verse 39, unto whom I will give for leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Hoshea, Amos, and Michael, Micaiah, I'm not saying that name right, Joel, Abadiah, Jonas, verse 40, Nahum, Habakkuk, Sophonius, Aegeus, Zechariah, Malachi, which is also and ministering spirit of Yahuwah.
So what is he saying? Now, back up, because I want to pull some out. Back up and pick up verse 29 again, and read the verse where he says that he would have gathered them like the hen. But look at verse 29, He's making a statement there, Brother Kaya. I mean, he's saying some stuff that I really wish some time that to deal with that are even closer, but we'll deal with another time. But back up to 29 and give me the verse where it says that I would have gathered you as a mother gather the hens. I need them two verses right there. Let's see what that says.
Okay. The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 1. You want verse 29 to verse 30. Verse 29 okay. Read.
Okay.
And you will be my people, and I should be your Yahuwah. That you will be my children, and I should be your father. Verse 30. Gather you together as a hen gather her chickens under her wings. But now, what shall I do unto you? I will cast you out from my face.
Now, according to this verse, if we read this verse, Brother Micaiah, who's doing all this great big talking? This sound like this is Yahuwah doing all this big bad talking is in Ezra days, so we can conclude Yahuwah doing all this talking, right?
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now we need to find out what Yahuwah doing all this talking. So here's the point. In Ezra days, what Yahuwah is doing all this talking. And the key what he left on the table, verse 29 and 30. He left a verse on the table was 29 and 30. He left them on the table for you. What he did, how often I would have gathered you. But you said you won't do right. Now we're going to precept and see exactly who said that in Ezra days in Matthew 23, verse 37 to 39. Let's find out who was that talking to Ezra way back there on the left side of the book. Remember, he said, I would gather you as a mother gather the hens together. But you say you don't want to do right. He said, your problem, you don't want to do right. He said, how many times that I would have gathered you? I'm going to precept that to Matthew 23 and look at 37 down verse 39.
Book of Matthew chapter 23, reading verse 37 down to 39. Verse 37 reads, oh, Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, Yada, you that kill the seals and stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gather her chicken under her wing, and you would not. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, for I say unto you, you shall not see me herefore, till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahuwah.
So what Yahuwah was back there talking to Ezra there, Brother Micaiah?
Yahuwah the Son.
Yahuwah the Son. So now the reason why his name is Yahuwah the Son, he says, you ain't gonna even see me until you say, blessed is he that come in what name?
In the name of Yahuwah.
How many letters is that?
Four letters. YHWH.
You see that? So you see all these other names they call it. He's otherwise, you're not even see this program until you get the name right. And that's why he said, y'all are stigma on that name. But look what the man saying here. He said, You're not going to be able to see my program. I don't care who you are. If you don't get the name right until you say plainly, blessed is he that cometh in the name of them four letters, you will never get this picture right. And see, all these big mega camps and everybody else on the world, they're using every name but the four letters. And that's the reason they can't see what we see. That's why we know we the ministry just, once we get in order, we'll see everything unfold because we is using his name, the blessed name. He came in the, and he said it plainly with the precept in St. John 5:43. What did he say, Brother Mackay, in 5:43? What did he say in 5:43? So why do we use a name called Yahweh the Son? Because Moody says in St. John 5:43.
The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 43. 43 reads, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive.
So what's the Father's name there? In 14, verse 1 of Revelation, what's the Father's name that we can read? Is that the name he came in, his Father's name? And he said, and you ain't going to see me until you recognize I come in the Father's name. 14, verse 1 of Revelation says what? 1 and 2.
The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, polluted word for Yada, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of hearts harping with their hearts.
Uh-huh. But what he said in 14, verse 1 again?
The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, polluted word for Yada, and with him 144,000 having their Father's name written in their forehead.
See, so they love to go and talk about the 144,000 in the seventh chapter, but that's the part they always leave out. See, this is what a young lion's got to catch him. They love to read about the 144,000 going to be, but they forgot that the 144,000, all the way they going to be on the good foot, they got to be in what name there, Brother Micaiah?
Four letters, YHWH.
You see that? See that? See, that's why they be deceitful in how they will throw their 144,000 in the seventh chapter. But have you noticed? You never will hear no count, no ministry read 14, verse 1. If they read, they'll go past it like it's a plague, because it tells the story the 144,000 will be the one that's in the name of the four letters YHWH. See, that's why we gotta catch this stuff. We ain't got time to keep on thumbing around with those that's contrary and schism in the body and get off onto their feelings and their emotions on the big job that before us. So when 144,000 is set up, the only one they're gonna be able to set it up is the one that use the name. And the only one that use the name of YHWH, according to the young lions, is who?
Voices of the true Israelite.
Voice of the true Israelite.
That's right. So you see, this is the message that got to be on one accord. So they love to read the seventh chapter, but they never read that the 144,000 must be unified in the name of the four letters. And see, that's why you say you let them go there. That's where the four they're going is that seventh chapter, the 144,000. And everybody claim the 144,000, but they never read 14, verse 1. But we do. But Titus, 2nd Ezra, chapter 2, figure verse 1. Let's read a little bit, see what we can get out of this. Now watch this. Listen to this story right here in second Ezra chapter 2, and we're gonna read all the way through this on here. Now watch this. Why can we get out of this? Come on.
Second Ezra, just here, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus says Yahweh, I brought this people, the children of Israel, out of bondage, hard bondage, and I gave them my Torah instruction. first five books by my servants the seers, who they would not hear, but despise my counsel. Verse 2, the mother that bare them said unto them, go your way, you children, for I am a widow and forsaken. Verse 3, I brought you up with gladness, but with sorrow heavy have I lost you. For you, the children of Israel, have sinned before Yahweh, your Yahweh, and done this thing that is evil before them, before him. Verse 4, but what shall I now do unto you? I am a widow and forsaken. Go your way, my children, and ask mercy of Yahweh. Verse 5, as for me, O Father, I call upon you for a witness over the mother of these children, which will not keep my covenant. Verse 6, that you bring them to confusion and their mother to a spoil, that there may be no offspring of them. Verse 7, let them be scattered abroad among the heathen, through the word of the 17 nations. Let their name be put out of the earth, for they have despised my covenant. Verse 8, woe, disaster be unto you, Asher, you that hides the unrighteousness in you. O you wicked people, remember what I did to Solomon and Gomorrah. Verse 9, whose land died in cloud, of pitch and heaps of ashes, even so also will I do unto death, that hear me not, said Almighty Yahweh. Verse 10, thus said Yahweh unto Ezra the seer, tell my people that I will give them the kingdom of Jerusalem, through the word Yada, the southern kingdom, which I would have given unto Israel. Verse 11, their honor greatness also will I talk, will I take unto you, and give thee the everlasting tabernacle, temple, which I have prepared for them. Verse 12, they shall have the tree of life for an ornament of sweet favor. They shall neither labor nor be weary. Verse 13, and go ye shall receive praise for a few days unto you, that they may be short. The kingdom is already prepared for you. Watch. Verse 14, take heaven and earth to witness, for I have broken the evil in pieces and created the good. For I have lived, said Yahweh. Verse 15, mother, brace your children. Bring them up with gladness. Make their feet as fast as a pillar. For I have chosen you, said Yahweh. Verse 16, and those that be dead will I rise up again from their places and bring them out of the grave. For I have known my name in Israel. Verse 17, fear not, you mother of the children, for I have chosen you, said Yahweh. Verse 18, for your help will I send my servant, Isaiah, Jeremiah, after those, after whose counsel have I sanctified and prepared for you 12 trees laden with devilish fruits. Verse 19, and as many thousands flow with milk and honey, and seven mighty mountains, whereupon there grow roses and lilies, whereby I will fill your children with joy. Verse 20, do right to the widow, joy for the fatherless, give to the poor, defend the orphan, clothe the naked. 21, heal the broken and the weak, let not a lame man to scorn, defend and maim, and let the blind man come into the sight of your of my clearness. Verse 22, keep the old and young within your walls. 23, wheresoever you find the dead, take them, bury them, and I will give you the first place in my resurrection. 24. Abide still, O my people, and take your rest, for your quietness shall come. 25. Nourish your children, O you good nurse, establish their feet. 26. As for the service whom I have given you, there should none one of them perish, for I require them from among your number. 27. Be not weary, for when the day of trouble in heaven is coming, others should weep and be sorrowful, but you should marry and have an abundance. Verse 28. The heathen of the 17 nations should envy you, but they should be able to do nothing against you, said Yahuwah. 29. My hand shall cover you, so that your children should not see hell. 30. Be joyful, O you mother, with your children, for I will deliver you, said Yahuwah. 31. Remember your children that are asleep, for I shall bring them out of the sides of the earth and show mercy unto them. For I am merciful, said Yahuwah Almighty. 32. Embrace your children until I come and show mercy unto them. For my wells run over and my mercy shall not fail. 33. I answer to sin, receive a charge of Yahuwah about Mount Oreb, that I should go unto Israel. But when I come unto them, they set me at nothing, despise the Torah instructions. First five books of Yahuwah. 34. And therefore I said to you, O you heathen, 17 other nations that hear and understand, look for yourself. Now let me read that over, verse 34. Now, I caught that. Verse 34. And therefore I said to you, O ye heathen, through the word nation of Israel, that hear and understand, look for your shepherd. He should give you everlasting rest. For he is near at hand that shall come in the end of the world. Verse 35. Be ready to the reward of the kingdom, when everlasting life shall shine upon you evermore.
Mm-hmm.
34.
Go ahead.
Verse 36. Flee the shadow of this world. Receive the joyfulness of your honor and greatness. I testify my Savior openly. 37. Or receive the gift that is given you and be glad, give thanks unto him, to the heavenly King.
Good. Now back up and read verse 33 and 34 again.
Verse 33 and 34. Read verse 33. I, Ezra, the seer, receive a charge of Yahuwah upon Mount Oreb, that I should go unto Israel. But when I came unto them, the children of Israel, they set me at nothing and despised my Torah instruction, or the first five books of Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So you see him saying? So he says, now all this information, when he came to Israel, they rejected him. But now let's go and see in St. John in the regular book, verse 1, 9 through 11. Let's see what he says in 1, 9 through 11 behind that. Well, at least 1, 9 through 12. So he say he came to the nation of Israel, southern kingdom. And they rejected this. Now let's see when you precept that to be clear about something in 1:9 down to verse 12. St. John in the old gospel, cigarette 9 down to verse 12. Let's see, can we tie that in? Because see, they'll go there and say, well, see, even in the old book, he put them away, so they not on the clock no more. Let's see what it says over in 1:9 through 12.
Righteous Beloved John, chapter 1, verses 9 to verse 12. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world.
Right.
Verse 10 reads, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 reads, for as for me, as received him, to this gave he power to become the sons and daughters of Yahuwah, even to this that believes on his name.
You get it? So as many as he came to his own, but many of his own that received him, he gave them the power that called on the name. So the only one that receiving him, that believe on him, is the one that called on the name. And let's go to Malachi 3:16-18. And let's see what he says behind that. Let's see, is there any reward, Brother Titus, of we calling on that name and stiffly in his name? Let's see, is any benefits for that in Malachi 3:16-18. Although the world go every type of way, they stay away from that name. But let's find out what Yahuwah told Malachi about that in 3:16-18. What do you say?
The book of Malachi, this year, chapter 3, verse 16-18 reads, then they, the children of Israel that fear Yahuwah, spake often one to another, and Yahuwah hearkened, listened, and heard. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahuwah, that threw upon his name, that thought upon his name. Verse 17, and they should be mine, said Yahuwah of hosts, and that day will I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son. Verse 18, then should you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahuwah and him that serveth him not.
So you see that? So that's why I keep telling you, six anointed camps, stay in that name. Because it's a reward, although nobody uses the name. Nobody keeps the feast days according to as is written. But he letting you know, if you keep them feast days as is written, you got them branches on, and you got that name right, when I make up my jewels, you're going to be healed. As many as receive him, they're going to be mine. The name, the Sabbath day, the feast day, just keep it as is written in the Bible, and just told you, you're going to be mine. But Micaiah, let's see what he don't want. And we got to watch this real carefully as this thing unfolds in 1 Peter 2, 1 down to verse 8. What can we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, Brother Micaiah, 1 down to verse 8?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads, wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all speaking. Verse 2, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if so be you have tasted that Yahuwah is gracious, merciful. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of Yahuwah in precious. Verse 5, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a righteous priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to Yahuwah the Father by Yahuwah the Son. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold,
I lay in Zion, polluted word for Yada Judah, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believe on him should not, verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. The stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Mm-hmm. So you're clear that he's telling you some great stuff. He's telling you some great stuff because you got some that have been appointed to do this thing, and you got some been appointed to always be a aggravation ticket. So you have to be able to see through all this thing as this thing unfold itself in grand style. Or it's going to unfold itself in grand style. And so we got to make sure we see it clearly unfold itself. And let's see what it says, Brother Micaiah, that what got to happen for these peoples. Now let's get Brother Titus in there. We got to get a closing statement. Now, give me that Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5. Give me that Micah chapter 5 and get in the closing statement. But make it sound real good. Micah 4, 1 through 5, Brother Titus in the closing statement. Come on. And we'll catch you at the feast day of Mars feast day of the seventh day feast. Let's see what it says in Micah 4, 1 through 5, and closing statement. Come on.
We go to Micah the Seer, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the temple of Yahuwah should be established in the top of the mountain, and it should be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow into it. Verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahuwah, and to the temple of Yahuwah of Israel, and I will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path. For the first five books of the Torah instructions, blue word law, shall go forth. Isaiah, blue word for Yahdah, the son of the king. And the word of Yahuwah for Jerusalem, blue word, Yahdah, son of the king. Verse 3, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations, and for all that they should beat their swords and to plow those chairs, and their spears and to pruning hooks. Nations should not lift up its war against nations, neither should they learn war anymore. Verse 4 reads, but they shall sit every man on his vine and on his fig. I'm afraid, for the mouth of Yahuwah has spoken. And then all the people, 17 nations, will walk every one in the name of this Yahuwah. And we, the children of Israel, will walk in the name of Yahuwah, our Yahuwah, forever and ever.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute. 17 nations gonna walk into it to the name of their Yahuwah, and we're gonna walk in the name of our Yahuwah. Can you be more dependent on what are you saying? Can you bring it out just a little bit more, just a little bit more there, Brother Titus? Can you bring that out just a little bit more? I know you got it in you, Brother Micaiah. If you don't, now, Brother Micaiah, he'll tighten up. But I know you got it in you. Come on.
Okay. All right. Read that verse 5. This is verse 5, right? Let me get verse 5.
Right.
Okay. All right. Verse 5. Micah chapter 4, verse 5 reads, for all the people of the other 17 nations will walk, everyone in the name of his Yahuwah, and we, the 12 tribes of Israel,
will walk in the name of our Yahweh forever and ever.
Okay, well, hold that right there. Brother Makai, you want to take a shot at that real quick?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. The book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his..." I'm going to read that back over. Verse 5. "For all people, 17 nations, will walk, everyone, in the name of his Yahweh, all the congregation of the family of Israel. And we, all the family of the congregation of Israel, will walk in the name of our Yahweh forever and ever."
See, the world is going to call us time appointed. You remember what we read over there in the first book of Ezra? It told you, you are the son of the living Yahweh. So if you're the son, what that make you? So what? But we leave it like that. Bob Titus, closing statement, we'll catch you eyeball to eyeball on the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You on the clock, come on.
All right, okay, the first book of Ezra, chapter 1, first Ezra, chapter 1. "So the children of Israel, which are held the Passover at that time, and the feast of the sweet bread." Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Excellent. Brother Makai, until you eyeball the eyeball, the last day of the feast day, you on the clock for your closing statement. Come out.
Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, to be able to learn from under the seal, get understanding of his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for allowing me to meet the seal. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife and children he has given me to raise for him. Thank you, Yahweh, for the elders, the mothers, the teachers, the brothers and the sisters, B-O-T-T-Y, and all the six anointed candles. Reading the book of First Ezra, chapter 1, reading verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10 reads, "And when these things were done, the priest, Levite, having the unleavened bread, stood in very kindly order, according to the kinfolk." Verse 11. "And according to the several dignities of the father before the people to offer to Yahweh, as it is written in the book of Moses." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. Until we meet tomorrow on the seventh day of the unleavened bread. And remember one thing, see right here. It's all about one thing. Getting in order now. That's it. That's it. We get in order. We see what this man's saying. We know our name. We are, the Father gave us the name. We are his sons and daughters. We got to carry ourselves with that. That's why it's so important to keep the feast days as is written, wear them fringes, and the unity of the brothers, and the unity of the families in order according to the Bible, and Yahweh will take it from there. All right, so I said Yahweh be with you all from Camp 4, the mothers and all. Yahweh be with everybody until we come back on the airways and a whole lot of eat them up and drink them up.